All right, good afternoon. I will call the meeting to order. And we have all the commissioners here. And our first order of business is the minutes from the February 6th meeting. They were attached with the agenda that went around. I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second that, Doug.
Okay, any discussion regarding the minutes? Then all in favor of approval, say aye.
Matt, I'll vote aye.
Okay. Aye for me, Brad, and then Doug, how do you feel about them? Uh-oh.
Did we lose you,
Doug?
Doug? I'm here. Did we lose him?
No, we...
Oh, we thought we lost you, Doug. Doug, can you hear me?
Well, I... Brad, you're breaking up somehow for me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm up in my office. You know what? I'm on my cell phone. I may have to call back in on a landline. I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm breaking up. Give me a second here.
You're okay now.
Okay.
This is Matt. I heard you, Brad.
Okay.
So what happened? We approved the minutes? If you'll vote for it.
Matt and I voted aye, and then we were waiting on you.
Waiting on me?
Yeah, we didn't hear your answer.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Yeah, I seconded them, but now I vote aye to approve the minutes.
Thank you. Okay, then we do have some loans this month. There are five of them, and I'll make a motion to approve the loans.
Well, this is Doug. I'll second it as normal.
Okay.
I have a question.
Then we have, yes, go ahead with the discussion.
My question is, what is this $20 million going to Racine for? For Mount Pleasant, for the village?
Do you want me to answer that?
Is this part of that big Taiwanese company plan?
Do you want me to answer that, Brad?
Yes, please.
Now, this is Jonathan, Doug. That is the village of Mount Pleasant, which is close to the Foxconn project, who is borrowing money from us to function as a gap financing or bridge financing for some rather more significant bonding that they're doing to develop new water infrastructure in the village that may in the future support Foxconn.
That's what I thought. Well, I'm not a big fan of Foxconn, and I'm not a big fan of the exemptions they've got for the water situation down there, but I guess if Mount Pleasant's doing this, can't do much about it at this point.
Well, I think it's our traditional role that we don't decide whether it's a loan. Oh, you know, Jonathan, I didn't ask you whether these are for proper public purpose.
I'm sorry. Yes, they're all for public purpose and asserted as so, as such.
Yeah. So,
I'm just being crazy, but I'm not sure that organizing water for Foxconn is public purpose. But they're going to hire 10,000 people, so I can't wait for them to move in down there.
Okay, this is actually... You want to add to that? Yeah, the water system expansion is not just for the company, it's also for the community, for the people living there as well, so...
Yeah, okay. I'm just being me. Sorry.
Gotta be you.
Let's vote. It passes 2-1.
All right, any other discussion regarding the loan? Then I'll call for the vote. I vote aye.
Doug, I vote aye.
Matt, I vote no.
Okay. Then just under old business, we just have an update today regarding the Three Lakes School District land purchase request. They did now finally make the formal request, and there is a letter they submitted. I think that went to all three of us.
Mr. Chairman, I copied all three of you the day I received it, and with my response saying that the board would be apprised of it, which you are, and there's no need to vote on this right now, but unless there's objection, staff will organize an appraisal of the property.
This is Doug. I have one question. There was some concern in the earlier discussions about this property and the sale of it that we would need the purchaser to agree to provide us access. Are they going to do that? How do we work that into the sale?
Well, that would be a decision for the board. I anticipate, Doug, that we'll go out and get an appraisal. As long as we're sure that this is a public acquisition, by the school district, we'll go in and get an appraisal and then recommend to the board for your consideration the retention of some access if it's deemed highly desirable. If we did that, that would be a fairly narrow strip on the west edge that should not interfere with the utilization of that property for the intended purpose.
Have you asked them if they're willing to give us that access?
Well, we would basically not sell them that access.
I understand. Okay, so we would sell them 39.5 acres instead of 40.
If that was the board's decision, but I think you want all the facts and the appraisal and then a map from us and a rationale before you'd make that decision. It's not a staff decision to make.
I understand. Well, thank you for the information.
What we're going to try and do is accommodate the school district of Three Lakes to the greatest extent we can. We probably wouldn't be interested in selling this parcel to a private party, but to a public entity, it's something that we regularly do.
No, I agree. I'm not criticizing the sale. I just want to make sure that when the time comes, we reserve that script that we need for the future.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. That's the summary of that, Mr. Chairman.
That was just an informational matter, so we don't have any vote here at this point. Under new business, there's an attachment relating to ratification adjustments to the loan program interest rates, and this is just pursuant to our policy. We're advising the board members that we have approved based on changes in long-term interest rates, a modification to our loan program interest rates.
Right. This is Doug. I move we ratify that interest change.
Is that a second?
All right.
It's listed on the bottom as a proposed resolution. That's where Doug's probably reading that.
Okay.
That's correct.
Is there any other discussion regarding it?
Mr. Chairman, I just add one thing. Interest rates in the short term, as Rich has pointed out, have been rising pretty rapidly. And in the last month, the long-term rates also rose. It's possible, even likely, that in the future we'll need to raise it again another quarter point. But we're pacing ourselves here and trying to really watch the market. That's all I want to do is prepare you for this. Might not be the only interest rate if these rates keep going up.
Okay. Then all in favor of ratifying these changes, say aye. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Doug.
Matt, I vote aye.
Okay. And then we have a request from staff, I believe it's Tom and Rich, to attend a fixed income conference in Chicago. As I understand, this would be pretty cheap in the out-of-state travel area, given that they're going to drive to Milwaukee and then take a train. And so we would really have largely just the hotel and meals as any significant expenses.
Yeah, there are no registration fees at the conference.
Okay.
There are no registration fees?
Not at this particular conference, no. We send a couple people every year. 2 years ago, I went myself. But it's really kind of boring, so I'm happy to have Tom and Rich go. It's a very valuable conference. It really is.
So it's going to cost about $1,000?
I wouldn't think that much.
Okay.
hotels, what, two nights in a hotel or three?
Just one night.
Just one night in a hotel at $120. So that's $240, and transportation is another maybe $60, $80. And the meals that they'll have, which is primarily just one dinner and on one lunch. So $300.
Well, and they cover the lunch, too.
Yeah.
And given the given the different ways in which we're investing our funds and things lately, I just think this is a great opportunity for them to pick up knowledge and expertise at a pretty cheap rate.
You know, Brother John, I didn't mean to make light of it, but it was a very valuable conference for me to learn the taxonomy of bond investments, but the detail on the changing landscape is something that Rich and Tom need to keep up on.
Rich and Tom, were you insulted by his characterization?
No,
I didn't find it boring at all.
Okay.
But the material is pretty dry. I'll admit that.
So the question I have, this is Doug, we seem to do this every year. Is it very repetitive? Do we need to go every year, or do things change enough that we need to?
The reason why you go every year is because of the fact that there are different factors that are influencing interest rates at different times. You know, as we sit here today, we're looking at a rising interest rate market that is very different from last year's situation, which is different from the year before. And so, in essence, it gives you a chance to talk to some of the other people that work in the industry and get their views on where things are going. So.
Okay, so the answer to my question is yes, it's worthwhile. I've got a question I was thinking about this morning as I was waiting for the call. If we did not spend this $500 to go, would that money go into the check that we give the libraries?
I guess indirectly the answer is yes.
Okay, because I've always kind of wondered if these kind of expenses take money away from that check, and I guess the answer is yes. Okay.
Well, the answer is yes and no, but indirectly yes, because we have an annual budget as delineated in the state budget, and if we don't spend it all, it goes back into the fund and is then reallocated. So if we don't spend it all, it goes back to the distribution ultimately.
Yep, I got it. Okay.
Typically, don't spend our entire budget.
So I'll make a motion that we approve Tom and Rich taking a train ride.
All right, I'll second that. Any other discussion? Then all in favor say aye. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Doug.
Matt, I'm a no.
Okay. Do we have, then the next item is, do we have any future agenda items?
I want to talk about the...
Then the Executive Secretary's report, Jonathan.
Yeah, I wanted to call your attention, and maybe Rich will join me on this, but we've got to change the format for our transaction report because we've recently begun to acquire equities in the forms of ETFs and have also made our first venture capital report or investment. And so if you look at the attached documents, first of all, on the investment transaction report, we describe the venture capital investment. We've closed on a $15 million commitment to 4490 with a capital call initially of $3.35 million. We're actually ahead of the game already, aren't we, Tom? A little bit? The investment looks like it's holding well, even though we're just a late comer. But the main thing I wanted to point out is that we've been asked to give you a good picture, and we agree that we want to be transparent. So what we're doing is we're giving you the fixed income portfolio and showing, and it's a reflection of recent market changes and the increase in interest rates, our bond portfolio, especially in Treasury, have lost value if you look at it as a value way. It doesn't mean, however, that our income is going down. In fact, our income is staying and going up as we purchase higher-yielding bonds with available cash. The fact is, though, that we're not going to report, I don't think, anytime soon, some of those capital gains that we reported last year. And the only reason we had capital gains last year is because we sold those bonds to take the profit when we could. And but we didn't sell a lot. $10 million?
No, we sold the capital gains
was $10 million.
Right,
we sold
about
$50 million or more.
Well,
so
it was significantly more.
We sold a significant amount of bonds that the only problem we would ever run into as an agency in bonds is if we had to sell them in the face of a declining market. And, of course, that means that we need to keep our liquidity in good shape.
Yeah, I don't anticipate us having to sell any bonds at a loss because we can hold them to maturity. And so one thing I also wanted to point out is that the valuation of the bond portfolio was really an estimate because a lot of these bonds never sell during their lifetime. They're not like stocks that sell continuously every day. Bonds generally are put away in a portfolio until they mature. And so the only way that people are able to value them is by using a mathematical formula that's based on bonds that do sell. And so the market prices that we show, the unrealized gains and losses, are really only an estimate.
Yeah,
and we have found that they have either been low or high by as much as 5% when we actually go out to the market and sell bonds.
In any case, though, we think it's a useful indice to keep the board more fully informed as to it's sort of a metric of what's happening in the market as it relates to interest rates. If interest rates go up, our existing bonds will lose a little value.
This is Doug. I have a question about the bond purchase that we made when we purchased a $5 million bond. But the maturity date is 2043. Is that far out?
Yes, Doug, that's one of the inflation-protected securities. And so the way that you buy those, some of them are very long-term, like the one that we bought.
They're very liquid, though.
Oh, yeah, they're extremely liquid. And the way that those are priced is that we are going to be paid approximately 1% plus the rate of inflation moving forward. And so it's an important part of the portfolio that we've discussed before. Moving forward to have some inflation protection within our portfolio. Plus, these things will throw off a little bit of cash every year in accordance with the terms that we buy them. But, yeah, in general, they're longer-term securities.
Yeah, I mean, that's very long-term. So during that lifetime, every year we get some interest or something? How much do we get from a $5 million bond?
Well, we get 1% plus the rate of inflation. And so if inflation goes up by 2%, next year we would receive 3% income on that bond.
The value of the bond, Doug, is in addition to that income, is it's very, very liquid. We can sell that at no capital gain loss at any time, basically.
You know, the beauty of those, Doug, is that there's inflation expectations are rising. And one of the concerns for the portfolio over the long term is that we maintain the purchasing power for future generations. And so this is one way that we're able to do that, by having securities in the portfolio that rise with inflation as we move forward. And that's one of the reasons that we can go long term on a security like this, is because it's already being covered for inflation. And so I think it's a good part of our portfolio.
Yeah, it's just I know nothing about this kind of stuff, and this is something new, so I thank you for the explanation. Okay, so thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. The other thing that is different in this transaction is our ETF, or our equity portfolio, and we propose to provide this once a month at the second board meeting. These numbers here, in terms of value, we'll go up and down on a day-to-day basis. Right now, we're making a little money, and the main thing to watch is we have a projected income of an average current yield of 2.8%, which is an annual dividend of $110,000 from the portfolios we presently hold. Every time we add to this portfolio, we would update this so that you have a good picture of what we have in this area of our investments at all times.
And if there's anything else that you think is you would like to see on an ongoing basis, just let me know. Or if there's anything in here that you think is something that is really unnecessary, I'd like to know that too. So I'm just trying to create a new format that provides the information that the board would like to see on a regular basis moving forward with these new investment strategies.
Okay, this is Doug with two questions. Just clarification. At the moment, as is typical, we have about half of our portfolio in bonds, $500 million, and half of it in school and municipal loans, $500 million, correct?
Correct.
Okay. My second question is not so much a question, well, maybe kind of a question. With these new equities that we're buying, for example, we bought Vanguard RIT ETF. Within that, there's different stocks like the General Motors and Volkswagen and so forth. Is it of any interest to us to see the contents of those mutual funds?
Well, we understand the focus of each one of the mutual funds, and they're all very broad-based, Doug. There's two of them are broad-based for the whole market, and so they're going to include every stock that's available in the U.S. market and every stock that's available in the world market to the extent that of their market capitalization. And so we understand the focus of these funds. We don't really think that it's necessary to go underneath the hood too much. We understand the differences between the funds, and we chose to have these funds tilt towards income-producing equities as much as we thought was prudent.
Okay. So the answer to my question is that in some of those funds, there could be 100 different stocks.
Well, there's thousands of stocks, Doug.
Okay.
If you want a report on what each fund is made up of, there's a printed report we can...
Yeah, what I can do is there's a fact sheet that's available for each one of these funds, and I'd be happy to supply the board members with those fact sheets so they have a little bit of background information on each one of these funds.
I don't really need that, but if the other commissioners want to see it, I'll try to wade through it myself. Thank you very much.
Okay. Anything else in the Executive Secretary's report?
No, sir.
All right. Then I will make a motion to adjourn.
This is Doug. I'll second the motion.
I'll third it.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Take care.
Thank you.
The Victor Intelligence Agency.